Good morning and welcome. It's good to see everybody here. I appreciate your presence. I appreciate your singing and praising God as He truly deserves. And I hope then that you will consider God's Word and test the things that are said and apply God's Word to your life that we can better praise Him in the way that we live. It is the first Sunday of the month, and so as a result, we continue on with the theme that we have for the year. And our theme for this year is to walk by faith. And each month, then, we have focused on one particular passage on faith because there's so many amazing passages that talk about faith. And what we've looked at thus far is we started off with Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And then we kind of looked at the definition of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen in Hebrews 11 and verse 1. We saw how faith impacts our behavior in 1 Peter 1 and verse 9, obtaining as the outcome of our faith the salvation of your souls. We looked at how we grow in faith in Romans 10, 17, faith comes from hearing. In James 2 and verse 24, we saw that it's not going to be just faith only. There is more that needs to be done. And in fact, you might be shocked to know this. Lord willing, we plan to have another year and we'll have a whole new theme. It's not like we said, well, we did faith, that's it. There's nothing more. There is more. In James 1 and verse 6, we saw that we must ask in faith without any doubting. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we got to the source of our theme, and that is we walk by faith, not by sight. 1 John 5 and verse 4, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. He who believes in Him will not be disappointed. Take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I hope you get the point. I hope that as we've gone through these previous sermons, you've got the concept. Faith really matters. You want to know something to focus on in your life, focus on faith. Start where we began in the year. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You can try anything else in the world you want. Without faith, you can't please God. And you look at where we ended up last month. Take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And we recognize that faith is the key to our victory. So we ought to get to the point where the apostles were, and where we get at Luke 17 and verse 5, and the apostles said to Him, Lord, increase our faith. I hope that's the concept you've gotten up to this point in the year. That as you've looked at all these things about the importance of faith, the need for faith, the great results of faith, that we've looked at and said, all right, I need to improve my faith. Now, I don't intend to take a lot of time this morning. We're going to look at this particular passage. We're going to give a few thoughts. We're going to do something I haven't normally done in a series of lessons on the theme for the year. We're going to have a spinoff. So, you know, you ever have one of the shows you really like, and then the show comes to the end, and then they say, hey, but everybody really liked it. We're going to have a spinoff. We're going to have this show over here and this show over here. This month, we're going to spend some time on the concept of increasing our faith, a spinoff on walking by faith. So here we are in Luke chapter 17, verse 5. They say, the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And I want to observe a few things about that. And the first thing I want us to observe is that challenges require faith. Let me ask you this question. Why'd they say that? What led them to suddenly say to Jesus, after all this time, after all these circumstances, they turn to Him and say, increase our faith. What is it? Well, look at the context. Look at what just happened in chapter 17, verse 1. He said to His disciples, it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come, but woe to him through whom they come. He just said, you are going to face challenges. It's inevitable. There are going to be people who are going to try to get you off the right course. And then he says, the danger is it could be you. And it better not be you. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea than that he would cause one of these little ones to stumble. And so we have this concept that says stumbling blocks are going to come. There's going to be challenges. Increase our faith. And then the next thing it says in verse 3, be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. I bet you the first half of that they had no problem with. If your brother sins, you get on him. No problem. If he repents, forgive him. Now it's hard. And then he makes it harder. Verse 4, and if he sins against you seven times a day and returns to you seven times saying, I repent, forgive him. And now we have not just repentance, not just forgiveness, but constant, daily, frequent, repeated forgiveness. Increase our faith. Are you struggling to obey God? We talked in the last few weeks about some of the commands that are harder than other commands. Everybody has one. Everybody has a command that they find challenging, they find difficult. Are you challenged by something? May I suggest to you that what you need to focus on is your faith. Your faith that there is a God, your faith that His way is the right way, the best way, the faith in His promises. It is through greater faith that we will find greater obedience. And when we find that we're being given a command that's really challenging, we need to be like the apostles and turn to Jesus and say, increase our faith. We need to be stronger in our conviction of who you are and what you want. And so that's what led up to the question. But then I observe the fact that it's the apostles that are saying, increase our faith. I don't care who you are in this room, you need more faith. Because the apostles just set the example. The apostles just looked at Jesus and said, we need more faith. And I don't know how many of us are going to look at the apostles and say, oh yeah, but I totally got you beat. I got faith way up here and you're down here. I don't think any of us would do that. If they're saying increase our faith, we need to increase our faith. They desired more faith, we should. And then we find within scriptures, it's a possibility, it's something we can accomplish, it's something we should accomplish. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3, really what's happened in 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes to these new Christians and he commends them. New Christians, and he says, you're on the right track. You have good faith, hope, and love. You're on the right track with those things. He writes to them again a few months later in 2 Thessalonians, and he says, you're on the right track, not because you have faith, you have hope, but because you're growing. And so he says in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 3, we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows ever greater. He commends them because they're growing. Don't be satisfied with the amount of faith you have. It's not enough. It's never enough. We should be growing, and so he says that we should be greatly enlarged. We see in other passages in James chapter 2 and verse 5 that God has called the poor in this world to be rich in faith, overflowing in abundance of faith. That's what God wants from us. In Matthew 8 and verse 10, Jesus is impressed as he looks at somebody who's not even a Jew, not even an Israelite. He looks at them and he says, behold, this is great faith. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to increase in our faith. And I sure hope that that's been the focus of yours this year. And if not this year, that right now, right here, you say, okay, I'm not satisfied with the fact that I have faith. I'm not satisfied with the fact that I believe. I want to grow. But I turn back to Luke 17 and I notice something else. I notice who it is that's asking that. In Luke 17 and verse 5, it was the apostles who said to the Lord, increase our faith. Now that encourages and motivates me and says, okay, I need to be also increasing in my faith. But what? How was Jesus supposed to respond to that? Okay, so here are the apostles. You guys are asking for more faith. Here's what I'm going to do to give you more faith. How could Jesus respond to that when you take into account what they had already experienced? And in this list, I'm sorry for all of you in the back, I apologize, actually probably from third row back. It's small print. And I'm only focused on Luke. Luke says that he's going to write things in an orderly account. So I'm not looking at Matthew, who might take things and say, okay, well, we're going to play around a little bit with the chronology so that we get things in subjects. I'm not going to look at Matthew or Mark. We're just looking at Luke. Up to Luke 17, what had they experienced? And it starts off with the healing of Peter's mother-in-law who was sick, and then Jesus heals her, and now she's able to get up and serve. And then there's this miraculous catch of fish, just a huge amount of fish when they shouldn't have been able to catch anything. Jesus makes it so that can happen. And then there's a person who has leprosy, which is an impossible disease to cure. Jesus heals him. And then you have a paralyzed man who is healed. And then you have a healing of a man with a withered hand, something that is incredibly visible. You have the healing of a centurion's servant. You have raising a widow's son from the dead. You have the calming of the storm when they're out on the sea and there's a big storm and Jesus says, "Peace, be still," and the storm just stops and the waves are gone and they say, "Who is this?" They saw that. They saw a man possessed with demons be healed. They saw Jairus' daughter raised from the dead. A woman who had gone to so many doctors with a bleeding issue and none of them could help her. She just touches the hem of his garment and boom, healed. They saw that. They saw the feeding of the 5,000 where Jesus creates food out of nothing. Well, okay, he had a little bit of food right in front of him, but then boom, boom, boom. So much food he can feed 5,000 and have leftovers. They saw the healing of a demon-possessed boy with epilepsy, a healing of a demon-possessed mute man, healing the woman bent double, healing a man with dropsy. And I should go back up here and right in here, and between number 13 and 14, add this little thing where Jesus sent them out to go to the people and tell them about the fact the Messiah was coming, and he gave them power to heal people and to cast out demons. So they'd witness all these things, not to mention their own things that they'd gone and done. And they get to Luke 17 and verse 5 and they say to Jesus, "Increase our faith." What is he supposed to do? What more do they need? Welcome to human nature. Welcome to you and me. Are you a person who has become absolutely convinced at some point in the past, you looked at all the evidences, you looked at all the reasons to believe in the existence of God, and you became convinced, "I believe in the existence of God." And you looked further and you examined the scriptures and all the things about the scriptures, and you became convinced, "I believe this is the truth." And then you looked upon it and you found within it the path you're supposed to take, and you found the church you're supposed to be a part of, and you became absolutely convinced, and you had all the faith in the world. Don't be shocked if later on you come to a point and you say, "Well, I need to increase in faith." Even if you've been a person who's had tremendous conviction, we get to points where we doubt, where we need reminders. Because sometimes we forget even the most obvious, even the most amazing things. The apostles did. We're not better than them. So don't be shocked if you or if somebody you know goes through moments where they need to increase their faith. Or we might even say moments of doubt. And so how does Jesus respond to them? Jesus then says, "Okay, hold on. I'm just going to do a whole line of miracles for you right now. We're going to increase your faith." That's not what he does. Instead, what Jesus does is he says, "As little is a good start." Because he goes on and he says in Luke 17 and verse 6, the Lord said, "If you had faith like a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." So they're saying, "Jesus, increase our faith." And Jesus is saying, "A little bit of faith is really powerful. A little bit of faith is really powerful." It's similar to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20 when they wanted to understand why they couldn't perform this particular miracle, cast out this particular demon. And Jesus says something similar. Jesus said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." And so here again, this idea of just a little bit of faith. Jesus talks about mustard seeds, and the mustard seeds are the tiniest of little seeds. He says, if you have just that much faith, that's enough. If you have just that much faith, that it can accomplish great things. Your faith doesn't have to be huge because your God is. He's the powerful one. He's the big one. I do want you to notice, though, if you're still in Matthew 17, verse 20, there is such a thing as too small of faith. Because what did Jesus say? Because of the littleness of your faith. That's why you couldn't do this. Your faith is so small, it's smaller than a mustard seed. But for us, we need to start off with this point, this concept. Even if I have some faith, that's a good starting place. And I can accomplish great things. But when I look back at Luke chapter 17 and verse 6, I'm struck by the fact that Jesus didn't say, if your faith is like something small. He didn't say if your faith is like something really tiny. In Matthew 17, if your faith was something tiny, you could take a mountain, you can move a mountain. In Luke 17, Jesus probably is standing right next to a tree. He says, see this tree? If you had faith, you could just say, go away, and it'll go into the ocean. But he doesn't say if it's just tiny faith. He says if it's faith like a mustard seed. And mustard seeds grow. It starts small, but it grows into something huge. And so even a little faith is a good start, but it is only a start. Every other time Jesus talks about mustard seeds, that's what he's emphasizing. In Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 13, all of these are about this parable about what's the kingdom of heaven like. He says the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And his point is, it is going to start small and it is going to get huge. It is going to keep growing and growing and growing. And our faith should be the same thing. Yes, it starts small. But let it grow. And let it become massive. And I refer you back to our second point, that we must be increasing in our faith. And finally, what I want to point out is faith takes time. I don't know how else to say it. Because they said, increase our faith, and Jesus didn't say, okay, hold still. Boom, faith. Jesus didn't do that. I suppose Jesus could. But that's not how faith works for us. It takes time. Now, these men that said this, increase our faith, how strong a faith did they end up having? There's a reason why we elevate them and say we're not like them. We can't compare to them because they had an incredible amount of faith and they lived in accordance to that faith and did incredible things for God by God's power and gave God all the glory and all the credit. But they were amazing men, handpicked by Jesus. And it took time. You start with them at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus. When they start following him, they've got problems. And they keep growing and growing and growing. But it took time. And it'll take time for you too. So if you're lacking faith, don't expect it to just, boom, be there. But be like them. And turn to Jesus. And say, increase our faith. And so if you're wondering how to increase our faith, well, the next several sermons are about that concept on Sunday mornings. Next Sunday morning, we're going to talk about why to believe in God. I can't tell you why you should. I'm going to tell why I do and give you some reasons why I believe in God to help you to grow in faith. But we're also told other things in Romans 10, verse 17, referring to a passage we've already looked at this year. Read, faith comes from hearing. In John 20, verses 30 through 31, these things were written so that you might believe. What should you do? Read. In Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Luke says, I'm writing all these things so that you can know everything that's going on. So you will believe. Just cannot underestimate the power of reading God's word and growing in faith. Now, boom, I told you. It wasn't going to be very long. This was an 18-minute sermon if you were counting. You can check with me later. It wasn't very long, but here's what we're going to do from here. We're going to look at some additional sermons. We're going to spread this out and talk about some things. And I don't have enough weeks, actually. So we're going to look at this through November. It'll probably go into December. I haven't nailed down the number of lessons I'm going to do. But there was a man who came to Jesus. I made reference to the disciples' response. In Matthew chapter 17, there was a man who came to Jesus and his disciples. His son was cruelly demon-possessed, which makes me wonder, who wasn't cruelly demon-possessed? If you were demon-possessed, that was a cruel thing, but that's neither here nor there. And that they couldn't do it, and so Jesus says, Jesus is willing to do it, and he says, if you can. And Jesus was kind of frustrated with the question there, if I can. And the man says, I do believe, help my unbelief. And that's what I strive to do for the next few sermons, is to strive to help those who do believe to help their unbelief, that we might increase our faith. And the last thing I'll say before our invitation is this, I submit where you turn matters. If we turn to the people who do not believe and ask them to increase our faith, What do you suspect they will do? But here they turn to Jesus, who is, as Hebrews 12 and verse 2 says, the author and perfecter of faith. If we turn to God and seek faith, that is where we will find the faith, the best faith, and great faith. Let us turn to Him for guidance. If you're not a Christian, if you've not yet been baptized into Christ and had your sins all washed away, had the debt that Brian was talking about paid, all of your sins gone, what an incredible offer you're being told about this morning. Jesus died so you could be free. Free from the consequence of your own actions. Free from the consequence of your sins. If you believe in the Son that Jesus sent, that God sent, if you believe in Jesus, if you're willing to repent of your sins and confess that faith in Him, well then be baptized into Him and have those sins washed away. And if you have fallen away, you're not alone. And we're not here to judge you and to make you feel awful. That's not our goal. Jesus told us what to do in Luke 17. No matter how many times you've fallen away, no matter how much you've hurt any one of us, repent and we're commanded to forgive you. And we're eager to do so. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?
Would you live for Jesus and